Hello, I'm Pastor Ben Kratz, and joining me today are several members of the Wells Women's Ministry Committee's executive team, here to continue our discussion on the ongoing email conversations revolving around the biblical principle of the callings of man and woman and its application in our world. Why don't we go around the table real quick and just introduce ourselves real quickly before we get into the meat of our discussion today?
I'm Christy Meyer.
I'm Naomi Schmidt.
I'm Dawn Schultz.
Christy, could you give us just a real quick overview of our whole devotional series? Kind of how does this week's devotions fit in with where we've been and kind of where we're going?
So the first thing I want to remind everybody of is we are dividing these into principle and application, and hopefully you have figured that out by now. First devotion of each week is timeless biblical principle, and then the second devotion of each week is the application of that principle. We started back in the Garden of Eden. We looked at perfection. We looked at the image of God. We looked at the fall into sin and how that changes our relationships. And then we came forward to Galatians and remembered that even though our relationships have been changed, we still have this equal status before God as his dearly loved blood-bought children. This week, we're taking a little bit deeper dive back into the Old Testament on a word study of azer, of helper, and what that means for us.
So one of the main concepts or main things that we talked about in this week's or this particular devotion was not only talking about helper, but how that in that role of helper, it's a complementary partnership. And I think one of the things you brought out a little bit is just some of the different concepts that kind of revolve around that idea of a complementary relationship. And I know each of you kind of prepared ahead of time a little bit to talk about that as far as in that complementary partnership, there's both an equality, there's some differences that still are there and some correspondence. I guess maybe just pick the one that you had kind of thought of ahead of time a little bit and give some thoughts just on how that concept shows itself in Adam and Eve's relationship, or perhaps in our relationships today.
I went with equality. So this again harkens back to last week's devotion that although Adam and Eve were created male and female, we know that they first and foremost were created in the image of God. So that's Naomi's week two devotion. And then last week, we know that they are from that passage in Galatians, equal before God, the passage saying neither male nor female doesn't mean that our unique callings were dispersed with or set aside, but rather that our unique callings are secondary to our identity in Christ. And as we come forward to today, what that equality means is not something that I can point to and say, oh yeah, I'm equal to any man. I can do anything that any man can do. That's not the way that I want to talk about equality because that's twisting the concept. It really is. It's the concept that God loves all of us dearly, male or female. And then from that identity, we can start to talk about our roles, our callings, our differences, and how those play out. But if we go to, as Naomi beautifully said in week two, if we go to our differences first, then we lose the body of Christ aspect that we have.
And one of the things that I thought about was this correspondence piece. And I guess I see that fitting so well with our topic this week of helper. And so, how do we correspond to each other? And I think it's very easy for us to imagine the many, many ways that men and women fit together in society and many other places in helping each other and working together on projects. And one of the things I like about that I think about with the word correspondence is that idea of complement. When one person brings a gift and another brings a gift, that together the project is made better, the body is made stronger, and those are good things. And so I like that idea of how we complement each other, and not in a verbal way, but just that our actions and our gifts complement each other. And that really shows and highlights the correspondence that we have. And so it's not even just the interdependent need that we have to have each other, but that together as we each bring gifts and have different ideas and thoughts, that it's a fuller, better, brighter picture, and that is a good thing as we fit together in that corresponding work that we do.
And then almost as the two of you were talking, it feels like we work through the spectrum of God's good design and God's order and get to the difference. And God did in his good design and order give differences that are very distinct, that male was created first and given very specific tasks to do. And woman was created second as a helper, and also very specific tasks, all for the good of God's creation in that first week, and for the good of his kingdom on earth after the fall, and that those differences allow us to each express with feminine characteristics or masculine characteristics, the goodness that God intends in a very distinct way, like I said, for the good of his kingdom to be brought out.
As you think about that term helper, I guess, can you think of some ways that you personally live out your helper calling in your home or in your church, some ways that you that helping particularly bring you joy?
Oh, for me, one of the greatest things is being a companion. I find such tremendous joy just seeing the look on my husband's face when he comes home after a long day and I'm home and he walks in the door, and I just feel like that companionship that we share in that moment of I get to be his helper in life. I am his partner in life. And that brings a tremendous amount of joy. But there are also some more specific ways, I think, that in at least in our home, that I have used my gifts and been a helper. Just for example, my husband doesn't always love all of the details and the organizing of things. And so sometimes just the balancing all the bank statements and kind of making sure that all of those bills are paid and that things get transferred. Or sometimes it's even with organizing vacations and where are we going to stay this night? And do we have the rental car in place? And what's that number? And all of those detailed things. So those are things often that we will talk about together. Like, how do we want this to go? And what does this look like? And what's going to be important to us as we move forward with this project? And then once we've had that discussion, oftentimes I will help with the organizing of that. And I will, whether it's making reservations again or looking into the details. And I do enjoy that. I do enjoy seeing our plans come to fruition by helping doing the things that I know that I like to do. Certainly he could do it, but it would be a struggle and a frustration for him. And so that's where I see our gifts being very complementary towards each other. And so that's something that I enjoy. I enjoy helping with that as well.
Naomi, that's really interesting because that kind of in some ways parallels my experience of how I would view myself as a helper in my local congregation. And I referenced this a little bit in the devotion. I also am a hyper-organized person. You should see my color-coded file cabinet. I love organization and I love thinking through the details of, okay, this decision has been made. This is what we're going to do. What are all the implications that need to get addressed or get dealt with or that need to be taken care of? And so that's how one of the ways that I tend to help at church, somewhat in an official capacity, somewhat not, just kind of depends on the day. Like you said, my pastors could do it. They absolutely could. They are incredibly talented, God blessed men who have the capacity to deal with all of these details, but they shouldn't have to because I can and I enjoy it and I am able to be helpful in that way. So that's my personal way of helping also, just dealing with what are all the ramifications from this decision being made. You need a service folder made? Yep, I can do that. You need someone to run AV? Yep, I can find someone to do that. So dealing with everything coming out of the congregational decisions and oftentimes doing it behind the scenes, which is fine and beneficial and good. What can I do so that they don't have to? And I guess my encouragement would be, you've heard our two personal stories here. What's yours? That would be my encouragement. What are you good at? What are you able to be helpful with that you enjoy? And then I brought this out in the devotion, but it's important enough that I want to say it again. Offer. It's probably something that would be appreciated. Whatever you are good at, wherever your skills lie, that's something that you can offer for your local congregation.
What I love about that encouragement, Christy, too, is that I think women oftentimes, because we see things a little bit differently sometimes than men, some of our ideas And some of the things that we see that might be important as we share those and go, wow, I see this need. And I'm wondering if this might be a good idea, if this is something that we could talk about. Again, that's a great example of how a woman's unique insights into a situation, something that either someone else doesn't have time for or hasn't noticed or, you know, whatever that looks like. Sometimes women have great ideas and are very capable of bringing those things to the forefront and helping get those projects organized and going, and so that ministry needs can be met or things in the home can be addressed or whatever that looks like. I think sometimes that idea and that visionary concept, I've met some women that are phenomenal at that. And that's been very encouraging too, as I see them use their gifts.
I think there's also great opportunity too for the recognition that there just might be other people that need to be coached up or led or teams developed. Sometimes with the relational gifts that God has given women, they can step into that team lead position or whatever has been worked out or would be helpful in order to organize a group of people, a mass project that involves an entire entity of either the church or the home. So the wide range of behind the scenes to out in front, I think it's a broad spectrum of what that helper role can look like.
And the reason it's a broad spectrum, and this is where the beauty of the body of Christ and spiritual gifts come in, which we will talk about again later this summer, is because we are all related, interdependent, related to each other, have different gifts, have different ways to serve, have different things that we are good at. And so the world's phrase would be playing to your strengths. I don't know that I want to go quite that far, but knowing what you uniquely bring to the table that God has gifted you with, and then being able to use that to assist with ministry and grow the body of Christ.
And even as we're having this discussion, again, that's not going to be just unilaterally saying, hey, I'm going to help here and charging right in and helping. You know, it is a partnership. It is a working together. It is a correspondence. And that's the beauty of having all of those dimensions of this principle that we're talking about in its varied applications.
I guess, how can you maintain that helper mindset while at the same time recognizing that not every action or every interaction with a male is an instance where we as women are helping, just so that we don't overstate the role of helper, especially when it comes to some of those interactions we have outside the home or the church?
Yeah, I would think it would be quite oppressive if that were the only way you walked down the street and saw every person that you were interacting with. And for me, I think one thing that's helpful or a mindset to keep the balance is, again, going back to, I think I said last week, where you have Adam, who is alone, recognizing he was alone, God saying it's not good for man to be alone, and Eve is brought into the situation and as a helper suitable to bring out what God intended for mankind and for his creation and for God's kingdom. And I think as a person, whether I'm in the world or in, you know, just various spheres of influence that I have, looking at the people that are around me and the situations that are around me and asking myself, is this a potential that I have been given the gifts by God to maximize, to help, to bring value to assist with? I think there will be times when the answer to that is no, that I'm not the right person, or I don't have the right gifts, or I'm not capable of doing that. And that's okay. That's a good thing. We are not the savior. Jesus is the savior. And I think as a helper role, if we go into it thinking every situation is something I can help and fix or make better, we're really taking too much on ourselves. And God will reveal, either through the partnership that we have with our pastor or in our homes or in our interactions with other people, where we can be a blessing as a helper without us having to feel like we have to, you know, force the situation or oppressively feel like everything I better make sure I'm living out this calling.
And I think, Dawn, what you just said perfectly encompasses my response, that we don't have to force the situation. Yes, I am a helper. Absolutely. That is the role that I was created for. But when I simply go about living out my life of faith with the spiritual gifts that I have been given, and maybe sometimes consciously think about helping, but sometimes not. Just living out my life and trying to be the best example of a sanctified life that I can be, that takes the pressure off too. I don't have to parse and analyze every situation. Am I being a helper here? Am I not? Maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't, but I'm just trying to live as a Christian as God created me to. And that really, really helps with trying to not get so stuck in that mindset.
I agree, Christy. I think if there's a way that this principle has been a little bit, has not always worked the best for people sometimes, is when they feel like it is the first and most important thing that we need to think about. And so you meet a person and people get this out of balance a little bit, as if you meet a person and your very first thought is, well, is this person my head or my helper? Or, you know, where's the head helper in this relationship? And you go to the next one. Well, where's head helper in this relationship? Like, that's what we have to figure out. That's not what we have to figure out. And so if we look at each situation and relationship that we're in, and we're asking ourselves, how can this relationship benefit the kingdom or be engaged to the glory of God? It might be an unbeliever who just really needs us to share Christ and the gospel and the word. It might be a new believer that needs to be encouraged in their faith and brought to the word of God, and whatever that looks like. And so the first question is not always, is this person my head or helper? The first question is, how does God want me to serve and bless this other person as a believer in Christ? And what can I do to help and encourage them? Well, see, and there I go by default, because we do want to help. We want to help other people grow, but not that it's always just, we're thinking, oh, that's a helper role. We're thinking about the calling we have in Christ to share his word and to spread grace and to speak of forgiveness. And certainly the idea of head and helper is going to fit in that beautifully, but it's not the first thing we're thinking about. It is a tool that helps us be successful in ministry, sharing grace. And so I agree, as we're looking at other people and thinking, how can I point to Christ in this relationship? That's the question I have.
So having read both the devotions and now kind of discussed it for, well, probably close to 40 minutes this week, what's your takeaway for the readers this week? One thing you want them to remember from this week's devotions?
I love the word study of Azer. That really, really helps inform what the helper calling truly means, where it comes from, what the motivation is, how it is applied to God originally, how a better way to say would be how God applies it to himself originally. And so I think having that understanding in mind and then framing your helper calling through that understanding in the Old Testament is my personal takeaway.
And mine is the joy of playing on the playground, that I feel so privileged and honored to be able to do service to God with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that how it's ordered and how it happens and who organizes it, those are all secondary things when first I'm overwhelmed by the joy and the privilege of serving at all. It's a lot easier for me to stay focused and motivated rather than think about any negative things that my sinful flesh wants to draw out. So I'm just so happy to be on the playground and playing my heart out.
Yeah, thank you, Christy and Naomi. You said basically just exactly what my thoughts were. I think the potential of every situation that God brings us into, to be able to walk into it with eyes open, knowing from the word what God has done on our behalf, and showing that to our fellow brothers and sisters as a helper in any way that we can. Again, not in every situation, but how he has planned that good work for us in advance is just such a blessing. It gives true joy and excitement as you go into it. And even the difficult ones to help, even the difficult situations or people, if God saw fit and saw potential in them as his child, surely I can assist and be part of the situation that God brings me into, even if it's a difficult one. So that's been a good takeaway for me and very helpful to refocus me on when it does get challenging.
Christy, do you want to give us a quick preview of where we are going next week?
next week, we are looking at something that I never really thought about before putting this devotional series together. I mean, I've had it taught in theology classes, but I didn't really think deeply about it, that imperfection in the Garden of Eden, before sin came into the world, God looked at something and said it was not good. And I hadn't thought about that dichotomy before reading this week's devotion. So that is where we are going next week.
All right. Well, thanks much for reading this week's devotion again and joining us today for our discussion. Look forward to having you join us next week as we continue our conversation then.